Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are getting into God's Word. Amen. I want to encourage you to share this with your friends. It's going to be life-changing on this, our same topic, as we proceed. Last week, we were talking about how to receive from God. We're going to be looking at this tonight, you know, in a progressive dimension. Let us pray tonight. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. We thank you for your word comes with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're getting into God's word, how to receive, okay, how, as we proceed. That's the topic. But very importantly, as we talk about how to receive from the Lord and the life of faith, basically, I want to help you understand something that is important. Open your Bible to 2 Peter, right, as we proceed. 2 Peter, chapter 1. I want to read verse 2 to you. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace. I want you to be there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And that word "and" is the Greek word kai. It means, I am saying, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? I mean the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. So listen, grace and peace is multiplied. How is it multiplied? Through knowledge. So it's important to understand that in this kingdom, what you know matters. In fact, the Bible helps us understand that the level to which you are fruitful in your walk with the Lord, or you are barren in your walk with the Lord, in God's plan, is most of the times related to this issue of knowledge. Let me even prove this to you again. Open your Bible in that same 2 Peter. Look at chapter 3. It says, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge. That's where we started off from. Epignosis. Epi and gnosis. High gnosis, knowledge. It is, epignosis is the detailed, accurate knowledge of something. So grace and peace is multiplied in my life based on my accurate knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the word epignosis. Epignosis is not like an awareness. So for example, I am aware that maybe a Maserati exists, right? I'm aware that a lion exists, right? Let me use Maserati. But the truth is, I have never seen the engine of a Maserati. I don't know where the gear is. I don't know how to drive it. Now, knowing a Maserati is not the knowledge that will change your life. Knowing how to drive it, the gear, where the signs are, it's called detailed, precise, accurate knowledge of something. Have you noticed that some people, they know you? Yeah, they know you. Who are you? You are just a man. That's all they know about you. You are just a man that likes to wear suits. That's about it. But your wife will have a more detailed. She can understand your moods. She knows the kind of food for that she can cook for you. You get my point? That's the word epignosis. Detailed, accurate knowledge of something. Not a on-the-surface knowledge. On the surface will not change your life. Listen to the words again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. I mean the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of God is actually the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When a man says, I know God, actually, it is Jesus Christ you know. Jesus Christ is the God that we know. The knowledge of God is actually the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I hope you're writing that down. Amen. So look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace. So can a man grow in grace? Yes, of course. Can a man grow in the manifestation, the reality of that thing called grace? Yeah. It says grow in grace. Just like it says grace and peace is multiplied. Now he's telling you grow in grace. I'm sharing with you the secrets of not being barren as we proceed. Right? It says but grow in grace, and that word again is, I mean, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Follow the words carefully. Grow in grace. Who is grace? Grace is telling you, verse 18, that grace is a person. Grace, and that is what I mean, in the epignosis, in the accurate, detailed knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I told you, an awareness that Jesus exists will not change your life. What will change your life, what makes you grow in grace, is a detailed, accurate, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that again. We're going to look at that tonight. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read something to you in verse 8, which is very important around this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for if these things, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, you know, people say, I want to be fruitful, I want to do God's will, I want to prosper in God's will. Yeah, there is a way you can be a born-again Christian and you are barren in the will of God. You are barren in the plan of God. It's true. Don't let anybody deceive you. Some people say, I'm under grace, I can do anything I like. It's not true. You will only be barren. Hope you have someone like Pastor Dio to tell you. You would only be barren in the plan of God, in the purpose of God, in the will of God. That's what it is. But you are still born again. Yeah. Look at it. Look at verse 8. 2 Peter 1 verse 8. For if these things be in you, meaning if you are, this means you are practicing them, because they are actually in you. It is the practice of it, okay? You know you can actually, kindness is in a believer, but his choice to practice kindness is another thing entirely. You can choose not to practice it. It's not that it's not in you, you chose not to practice it. So be careful when you say this, if these things be in you, making it look like, you know what we are talking about, what we're going to talk about, or some of the things we talk about, they are not in you. They are in you. That's why we are saying, act them out. But how will you act them out? Knowledge. Okay? It says, for if these things be in you and abound, if they are plenty, if they abound. Look at it. It says, they make you that you shall neither be barren. You see, when you look at this scripture, and it's, look at how fatal, how very, what do you call that word? It's very absolute. If there are some things that are at work in you, you won't be barren. It says you will not be barren, look at it there, or unfruitful, look at it there, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, verse 9, but, is there, but, he that lacketh these things is blind. Have you ever thought of running a race? You know, the plan of God, the purpose of God is like a race. Have you ever thought of running a race blindly? No matter your speed, if you are blindfolded, accident is inevitable. Write it down. Look at it there. No matter your speed, if you are blindfolded, an accident, you will walk, run into a wall. Right? Even the injury is more interesting because you are fast. Look at it. It says, but if these things be in you, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Look at that. He cannot see afar off. The vision is cut off. He can't see far off. You know, people sometimes think, I can live anyhow, do anything I like, you know, in the plan and purpose of God. He says, what's happening to you is you are playing with barrenness. I'm not threatening you, I'm just telling you. It says, right, it says, he can't see afar off. But this person, what's the real issue? He has forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. So what is the problem? Look at it this way. When a man is living how he ought not to live, the Bible calls it a memory problem, a forgetfulness problem. So as a believer, learn this, as a disciple, as someone that has brothers, if you find someone misbehaving, if you find someone running outside the will of God, if you find someone running outside the plan of God, if you find somebody, there is a major problem. Peter locates this problem. This problem that we can liken to barrenness and blindness and lack of vision. The person has forgotten the facts of redemption. So the facts of redemption, who we are in Christ, is something a believer must hear frequently. Why? If he stops to hear it, he will forget. Are you following me tonight? When he forgets, he will misbehave. Misbehavior is not the big deal. People always hamper on misbehavior. Misbehavior is not the big deal. It is what caused the misbehavior. He forgot. Are you getting it now? What are we to do? Remind them. Remind them of what? Who they are. See, there is the continuous hammering of who you are purifies the way you do. That is why it always looks like we talk about who are you. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are holy. You are righteous. You are a priest. You are a king. God loves you. You are the beloved. You are saved. Why? It is those that revelation is what leads to action. Are you getting it now? Look at, I'm going to read through this because that's not where I'm going to. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We are reading verse 3. Look at now. It says, according to his divine power, he has given us, read it, all things that pertains to this life, eternal life. He has given it to us. He will not give it to us. He has given it to us. Are you reading it there? Verse 3. That pertains to life and godliness. How did he give it to us? Through the knowledge. Let me pause so to make it make sense to you. God, when he gave you the Spirit, you had the ability to speak in tongues. You had the ability to cast out devils. You had the ability to lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. You had the ability to actually raise the dead. When you believed on the gospel. But if you do not know, what will happen? Look at it here. He says, he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Are you seeing that I've mentioned knowledge in 3 verses today already? What am I telling you to? Go for knowledge. As we proceed in 2024, go for knowledge. They that know their Lord will be strong. They will do exploits. Go for knowledge. Knowledge is what makes you stand in the day of trouble. Go for knowledge. Knowledge is important in the plan and the purpose of God. Look at it says, grace and peace. Look at it. It says, through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. You are called. Your calling, you are set apart unto glory. Right? He has given you the life of God. All that pertains to this life, but through the knowledge. I give an example. God had already given you ability to cast out devils, but if you did not know through the knowledge of him, you know, you can spend all day asking for what he has given you already. Now look at Mark 16, one of my favorite verse of the Bible. Mark 16, for example, Mark 16. I just want to show you what I am trying to break down here. Mark 16, verse 17. It says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." So I have a knowledge. What is that knowledge? The knowledge says, in my name, in the name of Jesus, I will cast out devils. So I don't pray to God about devils. Devils are in my disposition, at my discretion to cast out. How did I know? Knowledge. Are you getting it now? Where is the knowledge? Mark 16, verse 17. It is, I know from that verse, that it is a sign that follows believers. So casting out a devil is not what I pray for. Look at, I want you to be there. It says, "This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." I mean 17. "They shall speak with new tongues." I'm sure you know that already. You don't pray to speak in tongues. You know by knowledge that tongues is a gift given to you at redemption. It's a language of our kingdom. The moment you are born into our kingdom, that language, you've got it. How do you speak in tongues? If you are listening to me and you have never spoken in tongues before, the Bible says there is a language that has been given to you. That language is an ability that surpasses your mind. So what do? You give voice. I'll say it again. Let me mechanically get you to speak in tongues. You give voice to what God has done within. What has God done within? God has given you the Spirit. So you give voice to the Spirit. When you give voice to the Spirit freely, it comes out freely. You will be the one that will do the talking. You are giving voice to the Spirit within. That's how people speak in tongues. But you know, you can tarry for 10 years waiting for God to come on you that you might speak in tongues. Right? And you would think you are being godly doing that. But get the point. The point is, it was given to you at redemption. It is a sign that follows every believer. So there is no believer that cannot speak in tongues. There are only ignorant believers who have chosen not to speak in tongues. You get it? Because it's already a gift with them via redemption. How do we know? Grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. Right? So people don't pray to speak in tongues. It's there. Look at it there. It says, they shall take up serpents, the works of the devil. They will mess up the works of the devil. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Believers for you. It says, and they shall lay their hands on the sick will recover. So the same way the believer does not pray to God and tells God, "God, I want to speak in tongues, help me." It's the same way with healing the sick. Healing the sick, the when, the way, the how of healing the sick, God has given it to the discretion of the believer. If you did not know, you can pray for 10 years telling God to come and heal somebody he told you to heal. Amen? But how did we get so sure about this? Grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You get that. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, right? We're in verse 4. It says, whereby giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, whereby you are partakers. He has given us great and precious promises that we are partakers of the divine nature. Right? Say that with me. I have got a divine nature. Praise God. I haven't escaped the corruption that is in this world. I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but not of this world. Though you are born again, though the Spirit is within. Look at what it says there. And having, and beside, giving all diligence, add to your faith, add to this life in Christ, add moral excellence, behave well, act well. You know, he's telling us, in, we should look at verse 9. If you don't do these things, he says you are blind. You can't see afar off. You are forgotten that you are being washed. You are going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of God. So it's virtue. Virtue is the word behave well. And now I want to emphasize knowledge. I want to go on the tangent of knowledge. Look at the next one. It says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. And I want to actually go to knowledge because we've been talking about knowledge a lot. So you know that's where I'm going to. Right? Okay, let's go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Right? It's not just enough to be born again. Know the truth. Right? I'm sure it is John chapter 8 verse 31. It says, if you continue, how do you know the truth? Continue in my word. John 8 31. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples. Right? So disciples continue. There is no, I used to be, right? You know, it is a continuum. Disciples continue in the word. If you continue in the word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? The truth will make you free if you continue. So we're looking at James chapter 1. We want to get a knowledge. Today we are looking at the knowledge of God, right? Which is where we stop. The knowledge of God. What should I know about God? Right? Okay. So we are encountering knowledge. Let's start from verse 2. James 1 verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. So, subject matter here, temptations. What is my response to temptations? Joy. Why? Look at verse 2. Knowing this. So, there is a knowledge behind our rejoicing. It says that the trial of your faith works patience. Meaning, when I am going through a trial, a couple of things I know. Number one, the trial is not from God. Please write it down. No trial is from God. Because we're looking at the nature of God. You must understand that God does not try people. People think God tries people, he's looking for something. God does not need to try you. You understand? God made you. There is no new information he's looking for. Amen. God was, Jesus was the one that knew that Peter will actually do what? He will, before the cock crow three times, he will betray him. It was not new knowledge to Jesus. God doesn't need to try you to see what you will do. Amen. God knows you. It's human beings that think that way, that God is trying people. God does not try people. The devil makes believers think God, the devil makes the believer fall for the bait that God is trying them. And that is the situation that happened with Job. Job was a man who thought, that's why knowledge is important. He never faced the one that was attacking him, the devil, but he thought God was trying him. And so he kept saying, oh God, leave me alone. What did I do to you? Why do you like me so much for trouble? Oh, I caused the day I was born. Look at how the arrows of your wickedness is piercing my soul. Look at my body. May the day I was born be cursed. Why are you so wicked to me? He thought God was the one after him. Why? Listen, the truth about God's word must be found in God's word. Don't follow rumors, assumptions. You know, people think God is temperamental. People think God is good and bad. God is angry. God tries you, see what you do to get you. God is not like that. And that's what I spend my life explaining to people. God is not like that. And that's why the book of Job was documented. If you notice, God was not angry with Job anyway. Because even though he was saying all of those nonsense to God, God didn't get angry and say, no, God realized. Do you know that every time you misbehave, God understands that there is a knowledge you don't have? So what is God's response to every misbehavior? Get knowledge to you. Because the person that knows better acts better. God is not an immature and very, very petty person. Any misbehavior is a knowledge problem at the root of it. So what is God? How does God deal with your misbehavior? He sends you teachers. Amen. That's it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You see that same thing in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5. God's response to misbehavior is that he sends teachers your way to correct you. Hebrews 12 verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. You see the issue? People always forget. Right? Which speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord. That word chastising is the Greek word paideia. Paideia is the word where we get paediatrician. Alright? No. In fact, hold up. Hold up with that thought. Hold up with that thought. Not that one. I missed the Greek word there. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art being rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. Actually, I was correct. Chastiseth and scourges every son he receives. The word chastise there is the word, is where we get the word, is paideia. Where we get the word pediatrician. The pediatrician is the child nurse or the nurse of a child who takes care of the child to make a child better. So God is saying his correction is because he loves you. He wants to get you better. Praise God. And how does he do it? He does it. Look at verse 15. If you enjoy chastising, God deals with you as sons. So how does God chastise? He sends people to you to teach you, to nurture you. Pediatrician. The way the pediatrician takes care of a child that is an injury. Amen. Let's go back. Amen. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Brethren, I said a lot of people think God is the one around what? Temptations. God is not the one around temptation. We're going to see it later. Like it now says to us, knowing this, the trial of your faith, meaning when I'm being tried, one thing will come out of it. I know that it will build my patience capacity. Amen. He says, and as when I build my, so what? There is a benefit in trial in that it will build my patience capacity. And when patience has a good work in me, it makes me more whole as a believer. That's it. That is something we rejoice for in the midst of a trial. Let me say it in everyday speak. You say things like, I know I'm going through a trial, but it doesn't matter. As long as I'm holding on, feasting on God's word, this thing will bet spiritual growth in me. This trial will make me come out better. For this reason, I rejoice. Amen. Praise God. That's what he's saying there. He now says, in verse 5, while you are thinking that this will get you better, it tells you if anyone lacks wisdom, in context for here, wisdom in the midst of trials, wisdom in the midst of problems, let him ask of God. And we've said it many times, who is God? God is the one who, look at it there, is there, he give it to all men. Let me stop here. Many times people complain, they grapple, they do everything, but they don't ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Right? He says, who gives to all men? He gives liberally and he doesn't upbraid. So God does not say, I will not give to you based on something you have done. God is not like that. Continue here. He now says, verse 6, this is the issue here. But let him ask in faith. I'm just getting to my point. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What does it mean to waver? What makes a man waver? Another message outside the message of Christ. Write it down. What makes a man waver? Another message outside the message of Christ. You know, and that's why I tell people the importance of the message. If you do not hear about Christ, you will waver. Another doctrine makes you waver in your heart. You must have one mindset about God. Another doctrine about God makes you waver. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. That's why it's not everything you hear. It's not everything you put your ears to. Because what are you messing with? It's not that God is temperamental or God does it. If you hear the wrong thing and hold on to the wrong thing, your faith will waver. Because faith, write it down, faith actually is stronger when you understand the nature of God. Write it down. Faith works when you understand the nature of God. So when you hear another message that tells you something outside of the nature of God, your faith will waver. Whether you like it or not, I just told you today that God gives. He gives to all men. He gives liberally. He does not upbraid. That's his nature unto everybody. He gives to all men. But you can go and hear another message, consciously or unconsciously, you don't know God. God is stingy. If you don't do this, God will not do this for you. It looks casual. What is it affecting? The state of your heart. Write this down. That's why you guard your heart. Your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to what you feed it. If you don't feed your heart about the nature of God, your faith will struggle. And you still be a believer. That's the funny thing. Amen. Praise God. Look at Ephesians 4. Amen. I said, it's how people get tossed to and fro. It says, in fact, the Bible says he gave us ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, pastors, all of those people. Right? It says, why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, making the saints be all what they ought to be. So, listen, every believer is to have a local church pastor. So, because there is a ministry, an anointing, people like that word, a grace that a minister has over you to help you be all you ought to be. Amen? It is the Bible. Stick with the Bible. So, for example, I've said, you know what? I am the church of God. Me, I don't go to church. I don't have a pastor. I don't do any of these things. God said you won't be what you ought to be. It's not a struggle. It's what God put in place. He says for the perfecting, katatizo, making you, furnishing, making you what you ought to be. So there are people that are equipped for that. It says for they equip you for the work of ministry. That you may, for the edifying, these people build the body of Christ. Amen. That's why you pray for them. Amen. If you don't pray for them, right, they won't be able to build as they ought to build, though God has given them the ministry to do this. Amen. Amen. It says they are to do their work till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge, epignosis of the Son of God, unto a complete, perfect Christian. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the deception of men, and by the cunning craftiness that men use to deceive. So out there is seriously dangerous. There are men out there to deceive. Some do it consciously, some do it unconsciously, but there are men out there. So guard what you hear. Anything that is outside of the nature of God, don't put your ear there. You will not grow. You will be double-minded on many things. Go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What makes my faith waver? When I hear another message, I am driven. Look at verse 7, that's the problem. For let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. So it's not that God is not giving. Your double-mindedness, your hearing another message has taken your mind away from where God is. Where is God? Giver. Amen. Are you seeing it now? For a double-minded man, there is instability in his walk. So we have learned that about faith. Now remember that the context of James writing is trials. So James now says something I've said before. Look at James chapter 1 verse 13. Let no man say. So we are talking about the life of faith. Okay, the life of faith through trials. Let no man say when he's tempted. What is the first thing people want to do when they are going through a rough time? Talk nonsense. Amen. Let no man say when he is tempted. What will stop you from talking nonsense? Knowing better. You know, it's because I know better. I always say I'm a man. I know. Even if I have characteristics that makes me act like a woman, I know I am a man. It's a knowledge. So any point in time, whether under pressure or not, I will say I am a man. I will say I am married. Why? I know. It's not guesswork. It's not complicated. You know, I am married. You get the point. Amen. That it is knowledge that makes me talk rightly. So when you want to help your confession, help your knowledge base, write it down. Your confession will be a fruit of your knowledge base. What you know, you will say. Are you getting the point? So that confession is automatic. The abundance of the heart is what the mouth really speaks. Are you getting the point? So knowledge is the first thing, then confession. Amen. Are you getting it? Amen. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. So many people over the years have always said God is a tempter. God tempts Jesus and his apostles. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the explanation, the revelation of God. Right? Many have said different things about God. Jesus comes and says, let me make it clear to you. Jesus is the explanation of God. John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1 before we get back to James. John chapter 1. I want you to be there. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 18. John 1, 18. Remember, this is the book of John. This is when Jesus just came on the scene. Right? Look at verse 18. No man had seen God at any time. Or if you're a Bible reader, this should shake your theology. Some people come and say, in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all manner of people say, I saw God. Jesus comes and says, no man has seen God. And when you read the New Testament very well, you will realize that even Moses, the best he got of God was angels. Right? The best he got of God was what? Angels. Read the book of Acts, is there. In the statement of Stephen said it. He was dealing with angels. In Galatians, is there. Dealing with angels. Moses dealt with angels. But when they were talking, they would say, I was talking to God. God spoke to me and said, Jesus comes and says, bro, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus is the declaration. What is declaration? Explanation. Jesus, write it down, is the exegesis of God. Exegesis is the explanation of God in an accurate way. Exegesis. So Jesus is the exegesis of God. If you like another one, Jesus is the biography of God. Amen. Jesus is the encyclopedia of God. As long as you are dealing with Jesus, you have met God. Amen. Praise God. No man has seen him at any time. So for example, before you can say, God is tempting me. God is doing this. God is doing that. Jesus comes on and says, no man, calm down. No man has. I am the one that can explain him. So when I say, love your enemy, I am talking from a knowledge. Do good to them. Don't curse. Blessing and cursing must not come out of the same mouth. Don't say, somebody was cursing somewhere. No, Jesus is the explanation of God. When they came to arrest him and they cut off, the Peter cut off the ear of the accuser. What did Jesus do? Jesus rebuked Peter and looked at the man with the ear on the floor, took the ear and put it back. Amen. That is Jesus. God is good to his enemy. Jesus is the explanation of God. That is why God can die for his enemy. Are you getting it? Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrated his love for us, that while we are yet sinners, that is why you will see a Jesus. Jesus is dealing with someone that came to handcuff him and take him to prison. He will still heal the person regardless. In Luke chapter 9, you see in verse 56, the disciples were angry, wanted to call down fire. You will see Jesus rebuke them and say, do not do this. Don't do this. Don't call down fire because people did not receive your ministry. So it's unethical for a minister to curse. We don't see Jesus cursing. Amen. Praise God. Someone say, okay, all right. How about when? I am telling you, we don't see Jesus cursing. All we see Jesus doing is describing, oh fools, I mean, and that's because of the way the English comes out, slow of hearts. When he says brood of vipers, he's talking to unbelievers, children of the devil. Amen. Praise God. But we don't, in your life, you will not see well because they did something to you. It's not our, even if they stole your phone. That's just, if they stole your phone, no one say, the parent that stole my phone, you know, everybody will be holding their nose around you because you have body odor from today. It's not that, it's not about will it happen or will it not happen. It's about the fact that we don't act that way. How do we know? Jesus is the knowledge of God. Let me say it better. Jesus is the epignosis of God. He is the accurate and precise knowledge of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when he says, bless your enemy, do good to them that hurt you, that you might be like your Father that is in heaven. who gives rain and sun to the godly and the ungodly. Matthew 5:44. Are you noticing it here? God is not that petty God that say, you did not praise me, I won't give you a miracle. People preach it. It is not the knowledge of God. Why? Jesus says God is not like that. God that will give rain to the godly and the ungodly. God that died for the ungodly. Amen. But it sounds good. If you don't dance, God is not going to do this. If you don't do this, God will not do that. Making it look like God is some hungry, desperate. No, that's not the truth. So Jesus comes to explain God clearly to me. So Jesus is my explanation. Jesus is the Google that I wear, the goggle, the glasses, the contact lens that I wear. Upon wearing it, I know God. When I am dealing in the territory of Jesus, I am bullseye when it comes to God. No guesses, no assumption. So when we see Jesus with a woman who has had four husbands, and the one she is lit with at the moment is not her husband, what Jesus does there is what God will do. Jesus is God in the flesh. Are you understanding it? The nature of God is the booster of your faith. Amen. Let's go back to James chapter 1. Verse 13, let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Listen, you can't tempt God to do evil. That's what he's saying. You can't tempt God to do evil. No. You can't tempt God to do evil. Write it down. See, there is nothing you can do that will make God do evil. Nothing. God, as an entity, will not do evil based on you. You can't tempt him to do evil. Look at the next verse. Neither tempt he any man. See, this is the knowledge of God that is important. Listen, God does not tempt any man. See, anybody can come and say his experience. People come up with dreams. Isn't it not the other day people came up with dreams? And what did they say? They saw people in hell because they were wearing wig and trousers. And they were crying until we got them. And the people said, no, they did it for clout. Right? And some people just dream. They dream because they have eaten a lot and they are full. They dream because their mind is a playground of many affections, like Job said. How do we know what is true, dream or no dream? The word. So what gets a man to hell is not we. God is too petty to go on the cross, to die, only to come out of the grave for you to lose all that he did over a wig. Wig. Jeans. No. He's supposed to just tell the people, we don't like your wig. Right? We just use Jesus and use God and do it up and down. So there's a sense of responsibility in the Christian faith. Like we're doing this series, we talk, there's a way to dress, there's a way to talk. You don't use your dressing to distract people and all of those kind of things. But it's not an eternity issue. It is just that if you stay there, you dress loosely, you distract people with your dressing, you do any of those things, it just shows you're not growing spiritually. That's all. Or you're ignorant. It doesn't have anything to do with your eternity. That's the truth. You're a king, you're a believer. You are born again. You have eternal redemption. It's there. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:24, it's there already. You're a citizen of the kingdom. Philippians tells you that. Philippians 3:20-21. So we're not talking, how do I know I'm a citizen of the kingdom? Knowledge. Amen. And you don't lose citizenship by getting a wig or not having a wig or having a jeans or not having a jeans. No. It's a DNA matter. It's past what we lose. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says here, let no man say, when he's tempted of God, I'm tempted of God. For God does not tempt with evil, neither tempt any man. But every man is tempted. Why can men be tempted on the earth? Because men have desires. Amen. So your desire is, as it were, that place where which the devil or things of this world can use to tempt you. Let me tell you something. If you have no desire to be popular, if you have no desire to be someone that has made it, the truth about it is that Instagram cannot fool you, cannot mess with you. If you have no desires to be the number one out of everybody, no matter what everybody is doing, you know everybody is running their race, you'll not be under pressure. There must be a desire before there can be a temptation. Look at it. Amen. Every man is tempted. And see, the truth is, every man, as long as you're born a human being, you have desires. Born again or not born again, you have desires. And they could be good, they could be normal, and they could be bad. Right? Amen. It says, every man is tempted but our desires are our vulnerable point. Write it there. Your desire is your vulnerable point. So you have to know how to deal with your desires. Look at it. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That word lust is the word desire. And enticed. So what's it? So for example now, if somebody wants to poison me and post it on sushi, I can never be poisoned. I would never go there. I can never be enticed. I won't even see it. Why? It's not a desire. I won't even taste it. I won't even smell it. I won't even say, who put this here? I will throw it away, with or without prayer. Why? It's not around my desires. So it cannot catch my attention. You getting it? But as long as you're a human being, you have desires. Amen. What is a safe way to deal around your desires? Psalms 37. Let's see what the young man did there with that desire. Desires can run you crazy, but desires can actually make you whatever it is. But there is a sanity to our desires. Look at Psalm 37, verse 4. How delight, you know, delight. Look at it. In fact, let me use verse 3 first. Trust in the Lord. You know, this statement is very simple. But your redemption should be all that you need. To trust God. He came, he died for you. You know, people want to make decisions and they are afraid to legitimately ask God because they think God loves you more than you, outside of you. You got to know that. So the best thing for you is what he will tell you. God does not want to spoil your party. God is the party. He invited you to the party. Were you not dead in sin before he invited you to life? You now have eternal life. You now think you know better. No. So he says, trust the Lord. Trust his process. Trust his direction. Trust his word. Amen. He says, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's verse, that's 3. Psalm 37. Right? Look at verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What is your responsibility? Delight yourself. What does God do when you delight yourself? What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord is to give yourself to the word. Give yourself to prayer. Write it down. Give yourself to fellowship. Give yourself to the leading of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It's not saying that if you wanted a car, go to church, join prayer meeting, God will give you a car. See, you see, it's just that people always fear the outlash of the truth. Whether you come to church or you don't come to church, God will give you a car if you ask him for a car. You know the truth about it, you'll be silly not to go to church. Why? What happens to you when you don't go to church is that you are not able to serve and you are not served. So it affects your heart and the hearts of others. So he says, delight yourself and God will give thee the desires of your heart. What happens when you delight yourself in the Lord? God now changes your desires and fine-tunes them to his and the best one for you. Are you getting it? That's it. Because outside of God, man can be wicked. Man can be evil. So he says, bring your desires to me. I'll fine-tune them for you. The best for you. Right? Amen. So that you don't... So for example, right? So that you don't get the devil getting you to do what you ought not to do. Because your desires are gone haywire. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be real with God. People think that Christianity is a fellowship, is a joke, is a religion. We just close our eyes and say rabba ba 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 and just no, it's a relationship. Delight yourself in the Lord. Something will happen to your heart. It will happen to your heart. Just like recently, last week, I was on a retreat with the saints in our local church. Something happened to their heart. I could see it. Why? We were spending time in the Word, in prayer, in fellowship continuously. That's how it happens. People start to have desires, dreams, visions, revelation. Why? It's because we delighted ourselves in the Lord. And our desires are fine-tuned. Amen. Go back to James chapter 1, verse 14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn from his lust. When lust is conceived, when desire is conceived, it takes you back to the Garden of Eden, how Eve messed up. He's explaining what happened to Eve. He says it brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. Hey, so where did the devil use to get Eve? Told Eve there was something more. Eve wanted something more. The devil deceived Eve to think there was something more. And look away from life in God. And what happens? Eve, the Bible says Eve started to see that thing as something to desire to make one wise, and she went for it. How does the devil bait man? Takes your desires, lie around and deceive you, making you feel that it's the best for you. You by yourself, because you have those desires, you pursue that thing and you get in trouble. That's how the devil operates. Amen. Praise God. All right, I said that now. Another thing we want to notice about the nature of God, because it's the booster of your faith, he says, verse 16, James 1:16, do not err, my beloved brethren. So there's a tendency to make a mistake. When the Bible says do not err, it means a lot of people make this mistake. Every good, in the Greek, it says that good gift, that perfect gift, that good gift, that's what it says in the Greek, and that perfect gift that is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. He's telling you God is the giver of life. Who is the one that came from up down? It's Jesus that came from up down. Amen. He says he is the giver of that gift. That gift that is the gift that changes your life. Christ in your heart. God gave it to you. So, you know, it is trying to help you understand something. Even through trials, don't forget that truth about the nature of God. That's all he's dealing with. So he's not telling you through trials. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let me break it down to you the way I said it to some of our saints. When you are going through a trial, even when you are not going through a trial, because grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, what should you be doing? Hear the truth more. Go to fellowship more. Go for prayer meeting more. Go for Bible study more. What does the devil get you to do? Isolate yourself. What did the Bible say you should do? Be quick to hear. Have an accountability group. Have a local church. Have a pastor. When your desires are going away, quick to hear. Put on the message. Put on a Bible. Do a devotion. Feast on the word. Be swift to hear. What else? It says, be slow to speak. Why? When you are going through a hard time, if you are not swift to hear, write this down, you will speak out your emotions at that time, and they will not be right. So when I'm going through a tough time, I am swift to hear. So let the devil know, if you put the pressure on, I will increase my feasting on the word. You put the pressure on, I increase the time of prayer. You put the pressure, because you are learning. What are we dealing with today? Knowledge, epignosis, grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not when you say, you will not feel like going to church. You will not feel like calling your accountability partner. You will not feel like praying. Christianity, write it down. Christianity is not about feelings. Your life is a function of the instructions you follow, the decisions you make, and what you prioritize. It's not about feelings. Some people think, maybe I feel like being here now. Who told you? But I'm supposed to be here now, so I know this is what I'm supposed to do. So it's not about feelings. Put your feelings aside. You would have to learn it. You would have to even cry. God has never said, thou my son, for crying in the midst of trials, you are mad. No, cry, but do the will of God. Are you hearing? It's painful, yeah. It shows you have emotions. Cry, but be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. You know, people get angry at God, get angry at the church, get angry at friends, get angry at everybody. It's the trick of the devil to go and isolate themselves. Let me get in. The devil, you know, when the devil wants to catch the hippopotamus, he will ensure the other hippopotamuses are not there. I want to say hippopotami. Hey God. He will ensure they're all not there. Then all of them will pounce on the hippopotamus and they'll get the hippopotamus. But if the hippopotamus was in a group, even if the hippopotamus is having a bad day, you can't get all of them together. But that's the wisdom in community. That's the wisdom through trials. That's the wisdom of family. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. for the anger, the wrath of man. See, when you are angry, the wrath of man, you never do the will of God. Anger. That's why the Bible says anger dwells in the bosom of a fool. That's why the Bible will say in Ephesians 4, be angry, are you hearing me? And sin not. Let me show you. Let not the sun go down. Meaning, God did not say don't be angry. God said do not dwell angry. I always tell people, I get angry. Believe it, I get angry. But my anger is not my anger is not eternal life. My anger is not 10 years, 5 years, 15 years. No. Because I know that the moment I stay angry, I will misbehave. Knowledge. So if I stay angry long enough, do you know what I'm doing? I am shouting, devil, my house is free. You want to come have a party? Let's do Dio and Demons Incorporated. Dio and Demons Barbecue Party. Let me show you. Ephesians. So it's not like that makes me say, okay, I'm angry, but I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to put what was done to me aside. I am going to, because if I stayed angry, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Where is the sin in anger? Let not the sun. So he's telling you about a time. That's the way they used to look at time in those days. So I can say, don't be angry from morning till evening. You will sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Look at after wrath in verse 26. What do you see there? If you're an English student, you will see a colon. Meaning, let me explain what I'm saying. Don't go. Colon is telling you, don't go. Stay. What does anger do? Is in verse 27. 27 is an explanation of 26. Neither give place to the devil. So prolonged anger gives place to the devil. So I'm smart. I don't want the devil in my crew. I'm a man of faith. So what do? I don't give myself to prolonged anger. Simple. Very simple. It's not what you did, how you do it, what you say about... No. When you know when I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the new man in Christ. Because we always think I'm talking about myself. So the new man gets angry. But the new man does not stay there. Why? It's not, they always tell that new man, sorry. It's not about sorry. It's about if you stay there long enough, you will not do the will of God. Simple. If you stay there long enough, anger. Let's go back to James chapter 1. Amen. So say, how come my faith is not working? How come it seems like it is? You're hearing it now. It says there, for James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He's saying the same thing in verse 21. Wherefore, what do? Lay apart all filthiness, all naughtiness, and receive. What do I do when I'm going through a tough time? What do I do when it looks like... What do I do all the time? Receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Which is able. That word they save is the word renew your mind. Right? Because you're already born again. So the word of God is able to renew your mind. So just keep receiving it. Amen, 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 amen. Look at it. It says, and as you hear what it says, do it. Follow the instructions. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see it there? You know you can deceive yourself. You hear God's word. And I said to you, your life is a function of the instructions that you follow through. God is not your supervisor or monitoring spirit. No. What does God do? God just simply gives his word, his instructions. You are the one that will follow through. So that you are not going to... When you don't follow God's word, there is only one person you are deceiving. The Bible calls it yourself. Amen. Why? When you don't follow God's word, you don't grow. Look at it. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face. So the word of God tells me who I am. The word of God tells me, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. But you will say, you know what? So that's your real face. So what do you do when people do evil to you? You do good. That's what the Bible says. But you say, no. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Right? Because you are beholding the word of God, but you're not practicing it. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, therefore be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as I have forgiven you. But you say, no, that man, what he did, do you not see what he did? You are not growing. You've forgotten. See what he said there. Look at Ephesians 4. Is there Ephesians 4? I'm trying to show you how this applies. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 31. In fact, look at verse 30. Can a believer grieve the Holy Ghost? Yes, you can grieve the Spirit of God. See, I'm under grace. I can't grieve the Holy Ghost. You know what not to do. You do it. You are grieving the Spirit. You see, I'm a new age. You are grieving the Spirit and you know it. Ephesians 4:30. Grieving the Spirit whereby you have been sealed. He's already. He says you are grieving the Spirit. But you know he doesn't say you are grieving the Spirit. You are no longer saved. He said you are grieving the Spirit. You are sealed. Right? Unto the day of redemption. Is that not proof that, you know? Okay, let's continue. 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, put it away. Put it away. If he tells you put it away, it means you can. It means when you don't want to. Why? How would you put it away? Can you see that in verse 31? After malice, there is a colon, meaning I want to tell you how to deal with malice, bitterness, wrath, anger. What is the response to bitterness? Kindness. But you can say, no, I'm not doing that. No, that's them. You know, people say, that's them. You know, that's them. Not those believers, that's them. Me, I'm a no-nonsense person. No. Be ye kind. One to another. So it's not just one person in the local church. It's everybody. How do I quench bitterness? How do I quench envy? If you know that you're having ill feelings, but you know, people, that's what it means by doing the word. You're having ill feelings against somebody. Go out, use your money that you earned, buy something and give it to them. You will kill envy. You will kill bitterness. You will kill it. Why? Be ye kind. Kindness is how you paralyze envy in the heart. Look at it. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Don't be stubborn. No, it must be my way. No. Tender-hearted. How? Forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So, when I'm in bitterness and malice, one thing is clear. I have forgotten that I am the forgiving one. Let me say this so I can write it down. People like quotable quotes. The forgiving one forgives. The gracious one is gracious. The one who has received grace is gracious. The forgiving one forgives. When you see the one that has been forgiven, not forgiving, did you get that? When you see the forgiving one, not forgiving his neighbor, he has forgotten that he was forgiven. You cannot remember you were forgiven and hold on to unforgiveness. That's why in the gospel we say, ye are forgiven. In whom we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. So God's forgiveness is your curriculum for proper behavior. When I'm not doing it, I need to remember, or may I have brethren that remind me. Amen. What did I say? The antidote to bitterness is kindness. You know, you can use kindness to spoil your mother-in-law in your heart. You see, you will be kind to her physically. There will be no grievance. She is not. But if your heart is always saying, imagine, see what she did. See what she said. She said, when will I have a child? When will I do this one? What will you be? Bitter. What do you do with your heart when somebody is against you? Be kind. Who are you? The new man. What did God did when man rebelled against God? God came and died. It's the same thing. Then he now says, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. When men see, and see, when men see the heart of men, the heart of God, they change. Now God loves them. God cares. It's the same thing. Amen. Praise God. Let us conclude tonight. It says there, amen. It says, I've shown you how to do it. In verse 23, it says, when you are looking through the instructions in the word, it's your natural face. When it says you are holy, say, yes, I believe it. Because people also don't get this. I believe it. I'm holy. You don't look at your works. You look at what he says you are. It will change your works. Amen. I'm holy. What he calls you, call yourself, it will affect your work. Amen. It will enable you to do your work. To do the work, you should walk. Amen. Let's conclude with the last scripture tonight. Genesis chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So there is a walk. This I say to you, and I testify in the Lord, that ye therefore walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. God is saying how you behave comes from how you think. So let me tell you something, believers, Christians, disciples, when you find a man misbehaving, it's coming from the way they think. Where do they need help? How they think. Bring truth to people. It will change their lives. Right? So the way you walk is not because you just walk. No. It comes from how you think. So there is a way we don't walk. It says we don't walk in the vanity of our minds. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So we are alienated from the... When a man is not born again, he's alienated from the life of God. So he acts anyhow. There is a walk in Christ. You find it in the instructions in the written word. You see it and you act it out. Amen. That's how that we live. Now, and I'm saying it as I conclude, the faith life is made strong as a man embraces the nature of God and follows the instructions in the word. I hope you have been blessed. You will come your way again next week as we move on in this phenomenal book in the book of James. God bless you and have a lovely, lovely evening. Amen. Praise God.